Well, Jesus is calling, and what a great Sunday, Easter Sunday, to come to Him. And you've come to Him. You've come to this house of worship, this place of peace and holiness. May you feel the welcome of God. May you experience the living Christ before you leave this place in this day. Our thanks to our worship leaders, always fabulous, right on target, right in with the theme of the day. Pastors, for some reason, have this thing going with blue today. I don't know what the light blue is. We didn't coordinate at all. So you look great yourself. You really do. So maybe I can get by with the tie of the day. That's kind of out of ordinary for me in this service. But it's Easter, and I'm celebrating. The choirs and now the worship team have already got me raspy this morning. I'll hope I can make it through one more service after this one. I feel like I will. Ashley's here. Warming up in left field, can come in and take care of things. And so I'm feeling secure, so I'm not going to hold back whatsoever today. But wow, you do look great. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this Easter Sunday. Our scripture is from the Gospel of Matthew, and you may look at it on your device, on your phone. I know that's why you're looking at your phone during the worship services. You're always looking at scripture. I know that. And it'll be on the screen. There are Bibles in the pew, too. I'm going to stick pretty closely to Matthew 28 in the sermon today, so you can kind of follow along however you are comfortable. It's Easter morning, the morning after the Saturday Sabbath. The women are coming to the graveyard just to see if things are okay and if they're the way they left them. And so follow along, if you will. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel of the Lord said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. So come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the Easter Gospel. For the people of God this day, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. I'm here to tell you this is true, that it's still true, and that it always will be true, for it is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we gather today to try to figure out this interruption that's brought us together on this Easter morning with so many Easter plans yet to happen for most of us yet today. If you were to receive in the mail a letter from a long-lost cousin that came from a prestigious law firm with several names and with embossed stationery, and it read, "You are the beneficiary of several million dollars, even in this time of so many scams, wouldn't you at least check it out? Wouldn't you look into it a bit further?" I dare say that you would. Easter Sunday is that way. You've received some good news either through Scripture or by being among God's people in God's house, or some memory, or at least some indication that Wall Street was closed on Friday for Passover and for Good Friday. And gosh, what makes those folks close down? They never close down. Something's amiss here. And so today it's worth our looking into a little bit more what's happened, because it's true, it's still true, and it always will be true. The women leave early in the morning on the first day of the week, and they head to the cemetery. You've probably done that. You have laid to rest a beloved relative, a friend, and when you left the cemetery, the coffin was on top of the ground, and they were kind of moving you out from that moment, as they do, and probably the best procedure. But your heart longs to go back and kind of check it out and make sure everything's all right. You know it's all right, but same time, you just have to kind of get that affirmed. And the women headed early in the morning to the tomb, to the cemetery, just to see if things were all right there at the grave of their beloved Jesus. And it is interesting that this message is just infused with the presence of the women. You know, they were there at the crucifixion, and they were there at the burial, with Jesus. The artists, a rendition of Mary holding Jesus there in the Vatican in that statue in one of the chapels. I could stand there for days just studying it, just being in that moment, wondering what it was like for her and what it's like for humankind and what that means for me and why that just has grabbed millions and millions of people, and how people always talk about that statue in that that immense holy place. But it was the women who are put on display. I don't know if you remember the movie My Great Big Fat Greek Wedding. Maybe a classic, I don't know, but a lot of fun, and people laugh and talk about it quite often. You remember Maria talking to her daughter, Tula, about the daddy. Some of you have had similar conversations about daddy with your children. Tula, I believe, wanted to go to a distant college, and daddy, the good father, you know, needed to keep her near home and under his watchful gaze and tutelage, and she's upset. Mama's trying to console her a bit about daddy. And so Maria says to Tula, she says, "Tula, you need to understand this. The man is the head, but the woman is the neck. And the neck turns the head any direction she wants it to go." You know, women are always in charge, aren't they? Despite what they say, I'm sorry, guys, women are in charge. And they are the neck. They are the neck of this story for sure. The guys have disappeared and the women are there ministering to Jesus and being present with him and comforting and taking care of the moment and now giving us a recollection of what that moment was like. And as they are making it apparently pretty near to the grave, there is this just a miraculous occurrence. The Bible says, quietly, there was an earthquake. And an angel appeared and rolled back the stone from the tomb. The stone was like a disc or like a jar top that sets down in a track. And you roll it through that track. It opens the opening and you can roll it back through the track. The women arrive to find the angel there. Now, I usually just speed through this part of the story. Because, my goodness, you know, in the scientific age, using the word earthquake, some of you have lived through earthquakes, and they're quite scary. I know they're sometimes not small occurrences, and an angel was there as well. My goodness, we can't speed through this because, you know, folks, you know, all of us at some time or another have felt the earth move beneath our feet. And it wasn't an earthquake out in California. It was the earth beneath our feet that moved. And all of a sudden, some things that we thought we had down pat just didn't stay in the right place. And sometimes the things that we thought we would sell ourselves to and give ourselves to had just sorely disappointed us. And all of a sudden, perhaps we felt that we were alone. And we were on our own, and we had to begin to make those decisions that would give life to us and allow us to grow and bloom and become who God wanted us to be. Yes, we all know about earthquakes, and it's not in this to be skipped over. It's a reminder to all of us that we have come to this place because we just can't leave this good news alone. We've got to check into it a little bit. We've got to look into this further, because we've experienced those earthquakes, haven't we? And we've experienced the fact that we live in more than one dimension. There certainly is the physical dimension that we live in, the reality around us, but my goodness, there's another reality as well. And that emotional and spiritual and relational reality, it has a power of its own that you might not be able to see and nail it down, but my goodness, it shapes and forms and sometimes convicts and certainly saves us. And that's the ram of the angel in this occasion. You know, we live in reality in our world where we often think that there is a pill for everything, that we can deal with it scientifically, medically, and you know, we've gotten in trouble as a society because when your only tool is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, doesn't it? And so, boy, have the prescriptions been written. Now, I'm not against prescriptions and medication. Let me say that quickly. Not at all. But at the same time, it's not the only tool, my friends, that we have. There is a hopelessness about us where we keep thinking that we can do the same thing as an individual or as a community or as a nation or as a people and expect a different result. And it's just not going to happen that way. We've got to have some deeper conversations where we are not throwing pills at everything, where we are saying to individuals, there's a chance for us to have a deeper conversation, and we have to size and look in a little bit further to this message that there was a Savior that came forth from the grave some years ago that's still alive and at work in our world, and we need to own that and live that and learn how to serve that truth in our world. If you watch television or go to the movies occasionally, and maybe if you just read in general, you know there's this real hunger in our world today for super heroes. And that is a spiritual, I think, longing in our hearts to connect with the spiritual world. For us to say, you know, our world needs a Savior. Our world needs a Jesus. Our world needs a resurrection. And we can't just keep saying, let's just keep doing the same thing, keeping the status quo. We've got to begin to own what is God doing in our world, and what does it mean to be a modern person living in a technological age and an age that the world has shrunk and we are so interconnected. And so these two words, these two instances in this story are important for us to wrestle with a little bit today as to what they mean for us. There was an earthquake and an angel appeared. And then the Bible says after the earthquake, when the soldiers who were guarding the tomb had fallen like dead men, we would say in the vernacular in the South where I grew up, you know, they were scared to death. They were. And then the angel says to the women, do not be afraid. Are you kidding me? Earthquake, angel, soldiers fainting, you know, don't be afraid. Well, that's a little bit much, isn't it? A little bit much. But it feels like that in our world, doesn't it? With the chaos and with the catastrophes and with things that just are so far beyond us, and trying to understand how people hurt people in such large ways and mass ways and such impersonal ways, but yet such direct ways. Boy, do we need to hear, do not be afraid. And the angel speaks those words to the women and says, hey, I know why you're here and who you're looking for. I know why you are here and who you're looking for. Same person I'm here looking for as well. I'm looking for Jesus. I know you're looking for him as well. And the angel and Jesus, as we'll get to in a moment, just knew that these women didn't have it together. You know, they were in control. They were in charge. But boy, they have no idea what's going on here. You know, and the angel says, well, come on in the tomb, ladies, and have a look around. Here's this burial shelf in the little cave where they laid the deceased, and there's a couple of linen cloths there, nothing more. And you know, their minds are saying, "Wow, what in the world is going on here? And finally, in one of the other Gospels, they think maybe they've stolen him. Somebody did. And then that doesn't last very long, apparently. And then the angel says, he's not here. He's risen. Go tell the others that he'll meet them in Galilee. And that's about it. And off they go. And they don't go far until they meet Jesus. And they apparently recognize him. He just speaks a common greeting, hail, greeting, rejoice, can be translated in so many different ways, but yet they know it's the moment, and they know it's him, and they grab his feet. And they want things to go back to the way they used to be and, just go on with the life with Jesus, and somehow they know that's not going to happen, but this is their moment. And again, Jesus says to them, don't be afraid. And he continues the message of the angel all over again. Go tell my brothers I will meet them in Galilee. And then they depart. And that's the story basically as Matthew tells it. But let's look at a few pieces of it. Do not be afraid. Wow. Do not be afraid. That seems kind of overdone, doesn't it? Especially in these circumstances. To these women, do not be afraid. It's not about being afraid, I don't think, in that instant. It's not about the angel or Jesus trying to comfort them and say, well, just don't be afraid this morning. Things are going to unfold. Just don't be afraid. No, they're saying this is the way resurrection impacts life. Don't be afraid. You are in more capable hands than your own. Don't be afraid. When you need a resurrection, one is going to occur. When you need an empty grave, one is going to occur. When you need to meet Jesus and hug him and hold on to his feet, Jesus miraculously somehow is going to be there for you. Do not be afraid. I don't know if you saw the video some months ago of the man who was visually challenged who fell over onto the subway tracks off of the platform. I think it was in Atlanta. Became unbalanced, unsteady, falls over down into the pit where the subway tracks are. And a couple of passengers jump into the pit to help retrieve him, get him out, putting their own lives at risk. And they're working with him, trying to get him out. He's like the soldiers, he's dead weight, And he's yelling out, he says to those who are trying to help him, I've broken my leg. I can't find my glasses. They must be crushed somewhere. My leg is broken. And there you can hear him through the video that someone made, kind of over the train coming into the other side, just a tense moment. Those trains unapologetically just barrel into those stations and bam, they're there. There's no, excuse me, let us ease in here. You know how they arrive. And so you're just wondering, is this video going to end with a train barging in to this rescue effort? But they get him up onto the platform and everything works out all right for him. And later on, some news station interviewed these two individuals because you can't hear them in the video. And they say, well, what were you saying to this individual when you were down there risking your life on the track to save him? And one of them said, I was just saying to him over and over again, I got you. I got you. We've got you. I've got you. Now, the Pharisees, the English teachers, probably wouldn't like that sentence or the structure of it, but teachers are my heroes, so don't read that the wrong way. They are truly my heroes. But they were saying what needed to be said, weren't they? I got you. My goodness, until we understand that we are in more capable hands than our own, until we really can put our full weight down in trust, there was a resurrection. The grave was empty. And God's got us, God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who brought forth Jesus Christ from the grave, who brought tomorrow into the day, that God has us and he is there for us and he will not abandon us. I have got you. That's the best news that we can have and the best news that we can share, that God has got us in the way that God can have us to care for us. The guy was worried about his broken leg, and he probably should have been, and about his glasses, but my friends, those are minor things, aren't they? The bigger picture is somebody had him in that moment, and we're like that guy. We're frailing around. Oh, my leg is broken. I've lost my glasses. I've fallen off into the subway pit here, and the bigger whisper comes from beyond, I've got you. This is going to work out. You know, the women didn't understand completely what was going on, just as we come today not completely understanding every nut and bolt of the resurrection. But there are some parts that I think they were beginning to put together. And one is that life is stronger than death. Another certainly would be that evil and hatred and wrong, those forces are not stronger than the forces of grace and love and forgiveness and hope. Those forces defeated the others on this day. And the knowledge that the worst things in life are not going to be the last things. You know, it seemed like the crucifixion was the worst thing and was going to be the last thing. But God says, oh no, I got another miracle. He's saying the same thing to us today. Oh no, the worst things in your life are not going to be the last things, because the Christ that I have sent is strong enough to save you and to restore you and to call you back. And this is the Christ that we are trying to look into a little bit more today, so that we not just can understand it more clearly, but we can let this Christ get a hold of us as well today. To come to understand that the love and grace of God is so much stronger than even our sin, because he's got us. And despite the fact we might be struggling today, he's got us. It's going to be in his hands. He's going to take us to places we never imagined that we could go. He's going to make us stronger than we could ever believe that we're going to be. He's going to work out situations that we believe will never work out, because we've tried and tried and tried and we just haven't yet found the key to them. He's got you. He's got you. And that's why we're here today, celebrating the fact that God has truly got us. Now, he goes on to say, both Jesus and the angel, he says, they say to the disciples, go into Galilee, and they will see me. Important part about this grace, and we're saved by grace, let me remind you of that if you have forgotten it, is the fact that it's not just the fact that women are looking for Jesus and looking to find him there in the tomb, or fortunate enough to find him outside the tomb. But the story also has this other side, that Jesus is looking for us. And sometimes we forget about that. We think that we do all the looking, and that we're going to somehow be responsible for finding him. And that, and if you begin to think about your spiritual life in that way, you can easily become kind of conceited and say, you know, I found Jesus. You know, the fact of the matter is, Jesus is looking twice as hard for you, regardless of how hard you're looking for him, because we're all saved by grace, and it's the grace and mercy here. And so Jesus found Mary Magdalene in the streets and in a difficult time in her life, and she probably wasn't looking for Jesus, but Jesus found her, and he turned her around, and my goodness, what a disciple she became, a leader, and the lead person in the story of the resurrection. Jesus is looking for us, and it's important for us as the people of God to remember that and to share that with others, and to share our story that Jesus was looking for me and that he found me. And because he found me, I have found the gift of his presence and the power of his resurrection just more powerful and a greater blessing in my life than I could ever put into words. I think it's Marjorie Patterson in her poetry, as she's talking about her spiritual journey. And she's going through a very difficult time. She says, I realized finally that all of my life I had been a bell, a bell. All of my life I had been a bell. But she says, I didn't realize I was a bell until Jesus lifted me up and struck me, and I heard the sound for the first time of my own life. Mary Magdalene had been a bell all of her life, and she didn't know who she was, didn't have any idea who she was until Jesus lifted her up, and he spoke words of forgiveness and kindness and affirmation and now resurrection, and he struck her life. And for the first time, she understood herself, and she heard herself, and she knew who she was. That's the power of the resurrection. Some of you are old enough to remember the crash on the Hudson River of Flight 1049. Not too long ago. I'm just teasing you a little bit. See if you're listening. Of course, Captain Sully, you know, brings that flight, the geese, you know, clog up the engines, as I understand it. I don't know anything about all of this. And anyway, I do know the plane ended up in the Hudson. Captain Sully was just absolutely amazing. Have a family member who works in that business of understanding air crashes, and he says, "Paul, you don't know what a miracle this is for all these people to survive." They get together in New York once a year and celebrate Captain Sully and the miracle on the Hudson, as they call it. Don't tell the bishop this, that I said this on Easter Sunday, but they toast one another in the occasion with wild goose vodka as a nod to the geese. Now, just wipe that out of your mind. Wipe that out of your mind to celebrate. And, you know, but you know, beneath that, friends, beneath all of that formality and fun, beneath all of that, you know what they call themselves? They call themselves the community of the saved, the community of the saved. And we're here today because we're looking for Jesus, and we're looking for the community of the saved, because we'll admit, certainly I admit, I need to be saved. I need hope. I need resurrection. I need Jesus in my life, and I think you've come today to affirm the same thing. Jesus says, "Go to my brother and go home." He says a few verses later, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel and teach and baptize and make disciples. Very important. But right now he says, just go tell my brothers that I'm looking for them, that I'm going to connect with them in Galilee. I need them. They need me. Go tell my brothers. You can find Jesus in your own home and at your own kitchen table. As Sister Monica says, you know, don't go out in the world looking for more fascinating people to love and to be in relationship with. Love the people that are around you. God created them and have given them to you in a special way. Let your love and your faith begin at home. I want to attend to my brothers and my sisters who have been with me. I want to love them. Sister Monica says, you know, life's not about great deeds. We often think, if I can't do something spectacular, I'm not going to do anything. She says, life is about love and about loving one another and caring for those people that are around us. Go home and meet Jesus at your kitchen table. And then take time to tell those that you share life with, I love you. God's fantastic. You're fantastic. The Lord is risen today. And we have someone's arms and hands about us that we can't even imagine how wonderful and powerful that is. But we have a Savior, and we have hope, and we have a message to share with the world. Find a way to share with your family the good news of the resurrection, that Christ came forth from the grave for them, and he loves and cares for them just as he loves and cares for you and me. Don't be afraid. He is not here. He is risen. He's gone before you into the Galilees of your life. And there you will find him. He is looking for you today, just as much as you're looking for him. Isn't that worth looking into? Let's pray together. God, we confess we don't really understand totally everything that's happening today, but my goodness, just the little bit we can get our hands and minds and hearts around is fascinating, and we want to look into it further. Oh Lord, we want to understand more clearly that we are searching for you with all of our heart, but more beautifully and more importantly, you're searching for us. That resurrection doesn't happen from our side, it happens from your side, and you reach out and take us tenderly into your arms, and you care for us, and you give us hope. You bring tomorrow, the hope of tomorrow, into the day, and God, we need that hope today. Thank you for allowing us to have it today. Help us to embrace it, to live it, to commit our lives to your Son, Jesus Christ, to commit our lives to the family of faith, to be a part of your living body, the living body that was nailed to the cross and came forth from the grave and offers hope. We want to be in you, Lord Jesus Christ, and we ask that you would be in us in this day. Help us to go first to our families and share that good news, how much we love them and how much God loves them as well. We entrust this day and this hope to you.